Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to God's Kingdom in Motion, brought to you by the New Bethany Family Worship Center for all nations. Your host and teacher today is Pastor Deontay C. Atkinson.
Good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Atkinson, and we give God praise and thanks for another opportunity to come to you today for another installment of this broadcast of God's Kingdom in Motion, and we are so grateful and so appreciative, for the Lord's keeping and preserving us and protecting us and keeping us safe. It's something we should never take for granted. That there's so much going on in our world, and we have to be very mindful and aware that the Lord, by His own graces, have kept us so far and thus far. So we're just grateful for that. We just want to make it known to everyone that we know we're here because of the Lord. And we're thanking God for you, God's people, as well as for those who may not know the Lord and the pardoning of their sins. But we do pray that this broadcast is not just for those who know Christ, but for those who want to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's our prayer as well, not only to open up the principles of the kingdom, but also that those that are not in the kingdom can come into the kingdom of Christ. And so we bless the name of the Lord today. We thank Him always for what He does and what He continues to do. That is so awesome and so great, and we're just in awe of what we see God doing in this hour. In spite of everything that's going on in our world, we still thank the Lord for being the God that He is. Let His word remains true, and His word will never change. His word, as the Bible says, is steadfast and unmovable, and itself it's established and it's solidified in the heavens. So we give God praise and we give Him thanks. We want to, as we always do, we want to thank everyone for their support, for prayers for this broadcast of God's Kingdom in Motion, and as well as for our sponsor, which is the New Bethany Family Worship Center for All Nations, for making it possible that we can come to you every week about this time around about 11 o'clock and to be able to share a word in season, a word that will bless you, encourage you, a way word even to bring correction if necessary, that we can make the necessary adjustments in our life by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can go the way that God has already intended for us to go, and that we would begin to experience the blessings that not only come as far as those things that are tangible and all of those things that are physical possessions, but the blessing of His presence, to be able to know that no matter what goes on throughout the day, we can stand sure in our faith and knowing that He will never leave us nor forsake us. They would be with us even to the ends of the world. And of all the blessings and of all the promises, I believe that is the chief one of all that stands out. That all of the things that God has said, everything that God says is true. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that when we come to a place that we are very aware and very convinced in our hearts that the Lord made a promise, and He can't make a promise that He's going to break, because God can't lie, nor can He change. So when He says to us that He will never leave us nor forsake us, but He will be with us and even unto the ends of the world, you can believe that. You can trust that, because with everything that He's promised us, His presence is what makes the difference in all things. So we just want you to be encouraged and know that we are so appreciative to you for praying for us and supporting us in this broadcast. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come now, Lord God, to share with your people as the Holy Spirit would use us, Father God, as an instrument and as a vessel to speak a word in season that will bring gladness and also joy and encouragement to the hearer. We pray, Father God, for a flow of the anointing to take us where we need to go, Lord God, that we would not speak out of our own minds and hearts, but we would speak out of your heart and mind, oh God. We just thank you now. And we thank you for those that are listening now and then those who may listen later in the archives. We just pray that, Lord, you would just say something to their hearts, oh God, through this broadcast that will give them hope, give them a sense of knowing that in all things, oh God, no matter what it is that they're going through, that you care about them and that you love them, and that what you've begun in them, you're going to finish it, that you created them for a purpose and for a reason, and that, Lord, you're committed. You've committed yourself to finishing what you've started and what you've begun. So we give you praise and we give you thanks in the precious, changeless, and matchless name of Jesus Christ and our Lord and our Savior. Amen and thank God. Well, as always, we would just like to give our listeners some information about our ministry of New Bethany Family Worship Center for All Nations, where we serve as the senior serving leader there, pastor, along with my wife, Pastor Seneca Atkinson. And if you're in the Las Vegas area, you're always welcome to come by and to worship with us or fellowship with us. We have two services on Sunday mornings, one at 8:30 a.m. and then one following at 11 a.m. You're welcome to come. But also we have a Wednesday night service, which is tonight. We start with a 6 o'clock Bible study, and then afterwards we go into our service. And you're welcome to come. And also for those who are in the Las Vegas area but may not be in the Las Vegas area, but you still would like to keep in contact with us, you can find us on the web at www.newbethanyfwc.org. Again, that's newbethanyfwc.org. Go there, check out our website. There are a number of things there that will help you and encourage you in your walk and in your journey, as well as we would love for you to leave some comments and maybe some words of blessing for us to help us along, to encourage us. We need encouragement just like everyone else. So we just want to invite you to our services if you can. We also have our services live streamed as well. Thank God for remembering that. And you can log on, go to the website, you can log on, you follow the directions, and you can log on, and you can follow us along on the web as well. So we just give God praise. As you know, we've been dealing with a subject matter of dealing with prayer. As you know, every season we speak of things, we deal with different subjects, but we know that every season is a season and a time for prayer. No matter what's going on, no matter how things may be going in my life, not only the negativity or the rough times, but even when we're going through some very well times, because life is not just made up of rough times. It would be a very miserable life just to live rough and just go through hardness of life every single day and not have a time to rest and to be able to at least to exhale. And so we need that balance. We need a balance of understanding that it's not the will of God for us to consistently just go through. You know, we're always up, let's say, as if we're always going up the mountain. We never have a time to rest in between. So we know that prayer is always appropriate. It's always essential. It's always on time. It's never a matter of saying, well, when is the right time to pray? Any time is the right time to pray. That's not even a hard question to answer. But at the same time, we need to know the basic principles that God has given us in his word to be able to have a structured but also a sound and a very impactful and a very effective prayer life. And that's what we've been dealing with. We've been dealing with this matter, and we'll be in this subject for a while, because I believe in my heart that of all the things that we do, we need to know what God wants us to do. We need to know what's on the heart of God. We need to know where we are as it relates to the will of God and what God wants to do, not just in our life, but also what God wants to do with us, in us, and through us to other people. So with that being said, we want to deal with the fact of faith. We just started a midweek Bible study at our ministry, New Bethany Family Worship Center for All Nations. We started on yesterday. Right, we have prayer Tuesday through Friday, early morning prayer from 6 to 7 a.m., and then the Lord put on our heart to start a noonday prayer every Tuesday and every Thursday from 12 to 1. But every Tuesday we'll be having Bible study following our prayer time right at 1 o'clock. So our prayer time is from 12 to 1, and then our Bible study, we go right into our Bible study from 1 to 2. So on yesterday we dealt with a number of things dealing with faith, dealing with the matter of the attitude of faith, which is we know that in order for us to really become more effective and become more stable in our walk with God, we have to understand that sometimes our attitude can get in the way, especially when it's not God-centered, when we're going through some very frustrating times, we're going through some times that we feel like as though that God has abandoned us, he doesn't care and all that. We've all felt that way at one time or another. I don't think that anyone, if they're willing to be honest and humble enough, we've all felt like as if that God didn't care because of what we were going through and our emotions and feelings, and feeling as though we're all alone and we're the victim and we're always being picked out to be picked on. We've all felt like that. Everybody's felt like that. But however, at the same time, there's a time in your life, hopefully in all of our lives, if we're walking with the Lord and we're growing in grace, that we're growing up, we're maturing in the faith, we're maturing in the spirit. So there comes a time in every believer's life that we should eventually leave those things, that we've grown up from those things. We don't go back there anymore. We don't revisit them. You know, and that doesn't say we don't have our times of testing and times of misunderstanding and all that, but I'm talking about where we just stay there. We just stay discouraged. We stay upset. We stay frustrated. And that affects your attitude, because with faith there is an attitude. When you really truly trust in God and you have confidence in the Lord, your attitude won't be negative. It will be very, very positive. Because your conversation, even what comes out of your mouth, will be solely upon what you believe as it relates to the Lord and what God is able to do. When you can't, God can. See, we have to understand that. And when an individual is totally sold out and believes and is convinced and persuaded in their heart of hearts that God is able to do anything, there is nothing that God can do. The only thing I found that God can do is lie, and he can't fail. But when we look at to the Lord as being the one who is able to take impossibilities and turn those impossibilities into possibilities, then your whole makeup, who you are as an individual, begins to change. You can't say, I couldn't say that I have faith in God and I'm miserable and I'm always cantankerous, which is like, well, cantankerous literally means a person is always uptight. That's what a cantankerous means. And always frustrated. Frustration is another word for anger. They're always on edge. They're always tense. They're always looking strained in the face. They can never smile. They can never really enjoy life, you know. But when there is an attitude that is coupled with faith, and you find that when you're believing the Lord for whatever it is that you're trusting God for, and you mean that you're anchored in that, your attitude is not going to be like that. It's not going to be contrary. It's not going to be, you know, disgruntled and upset. You're going to find that you'll have more joy. You'll be walking in the peace of God. So we have to deal with this subject now. We have to deal with this because a lot of people feel that when the question is asked, do you have faith? And sometimes people say, well, yeah, I have faith, but they don't really know where their faith is, because Jesus talked about it and Jesus shared many times in the Bible, even with his own disciples, said, oh, ye a little faith. And there were times that they did not really operate in faith. They operated in fear. They operated in desperation. And we can't call all of those things. We can't say that faith. We can't replace faith with all of these other things, even doubt. There's no such thing as walking in faith and walking in doubt at the same time. You're either in faith or you're in doubt. So we want to get into the Word because I believe there are a number of things that we want to talk about throughout the course of this broadcast today. Our hope and prayer is that those who listen to this time that we have together every Wednesday at this time, that there's something that the Lord is saying specifically to you, uniquely saying something to you about your life, about what you need to do in your own life to make it a point that you're giving God everything that he needs in your life to do what must be done. See, in other words, God is not going to do anything in your life without your permission. In other words, you have to allow God to work things out in your life. You have to step back and let God step forward. And that speaks of will. Your will has to become the will of God. It's not about God condescending, which is to come down where you are, where I am, and to change everything that he's doing to make it compatible to what we want. God doesn't work like that. It's the other way around. We need to come where God is, which is in faith, and we need to align or to agree with God according to what he has spoken, and what he's spoken is going to be what he's going to do. Now, notice what I said. What God speaks and what God has said and is saying, that is what God is going to do. Now, what we need to do is agree with that, and that is to agree with the Word, because faith itself is developed and it grows and matures by the Word. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we have to understand, you can pray all you want. We were even sharing this in the Bible study yesterday, in the midday Bible study. You can pray all you want, but prayer will not get you faith. Now, you can pray in order to adjust the way you've been thinking, and that's going to only be done through the Word as well. So everything that we're talking about has to be tied to the Word. Because the Bible itself is the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus. Jesus, his name is called the Word of God. So how do you develop your faith? How do you build yourself? If your faith is not as strong as it should be, well, that's an indication we need to be in the Word. We need to be not just those who read the Bible, but we need to become those who are in love with the Word of God, that we read and we study for the purpose of finding Jesus, of learning him. This is a scripture we continually quote in our church, because we wanted to get into the hearts of people. And I say it even on this broadcast as well, and that's Matthew 11:29, where it says, what Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So what we're learning is not church. What we're learning is not a certain protocol or certain procedures or a procedure. We're learning Jesus. Once we learn Christ, and we're still going to be learning him throughout eternity, but once we begin that process, once we begin the process of learning Christ, learning Jesus, which is to learn his word, to know God is to know the word, to know Jesus is to know the word. Once we begin that, once we start and we make the decision that we're not going to just start, but we're going to continue in that, and we're going to keep walking it out, we're going to keep moving in that, I can guarantee you, according to the word of God, that you will start seeing changes in your life. Now, it's not going to come overnight. It's not going to happen all at once. Some things will. Some things you'll see immediate changes. I believe that. I've had it happen in my life. But don't look for immediate things to happen all at once in everything. There will be something that you'll see that changes almost immediately, suddenly. But then there'll be other things that you got to walk out. Why? Because once you commit yourself to it, you have to understand something, and that is that you have to unlearn bad behaviors. Everything that we do in life, be it good or bad, it's due to discipline or being undisciplined. Bad behaviors, bad habits are due to an undisciplined area of your life. And once we recognize it, once we trace it, and once we get rid of it, replace it, and we move on in what's right, we'll start seeing changes because you know why? We're dedicating ourselves, we're committing ourselves to what is right. And that takes it takes effort. It takes work. It's work. It's not going. You can pray until the cows come home, and you still won't see any change unless you and I are willing to change our behaviors. And even in that, we still need the help of the Lord. We can't do it on our own. It's not done by self-effort. It's not done because you beg and you plead and want God to help you to make you do right. God's not going to make us do right. It's a choice on our own part that we have the responsibility of saying when God says yes, we have to go along with his yes, which is to agree with him. He's not going to make us, as much as he wants us to do right, he won't make us do right. Because that's our choice. That's what he gave us. That's what makes us like him. We have the right to choose, see. Of all of God's creation, the animals don't choose. Everything that God created doesn't have a choice. We do. That's what makes us in the sense of being like God. We have a measure of sovereignty, which is to make a decision. But at the same time, we have to be willing to understand that once we make a decision, we have to be willing to accept what comes as a result of that decision. So that's why the Bible lets us know that when we make a decision, we should choose what is right. That's why Moses said in the Old Testament, he said, this day I set before you life and death. Choose life. See, he didn't make the decision for the people, but he directed them, he guided them as a shepherd to do the right thing, but he couldn't do it for them. See, we have to understand that prayer is not about strong-arming God and twisting his arm behind his back to get him to do what we want him to do. No. The first, one of the first and greatest priorities of prayer is getting God what he wants first, and then you come afterwards. It's not you getting what you want first and then God to get what he wants. That's not how it works. Even in the model prayer of Matthew 6, where Jesus is teaching us how to pray, he says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will. Notice thy, not mine and I, but thy. So it's not about me, you getting what we want first. It's about God getting what he wants first. But see, that has to be decided, and it has to be altogether of a great persuasion in our hearts. This is what I'm agreeing to. This is what I want to do. See, it should move, like we said on last week. We have to move from the place of just duty to the place of delight. But still, there has to be a duty mind that we have, a dutiful mind that we have to do what is called due diligence, which is a continual, a steadfast, a persevering kind of an attitude about what you do that is right. That even when you do wrong, there are people who are very dedicated to doing wrong. They don't care. It's a way of life for them. It's a learned behavior. It's not that they can't do better. I don't believe that people can't do better. I believe it's a matter of choice. If a person continues to say, well, I just don't know what to do, what it means is they're not willing to make the right decisions to change what it is that they're tired of living. Once you make a decision to do what's right, you've got to commit to doing it once, twice, three times, and on and on and on and on and on. So in other words, you get to a place that you stop counting. You just keep doing it until it comes automatic for you. All right, let's go into the Word. We're going to go to Mark 11, the 11th chapter of Mark, and this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I love to start with what the Lord has said so to give us the basis or the foundation of what we're trying to teach. And as we know, we're talking about prayer. Well, we're talking now about the prayer of faith. We're talking about how to literally pray in faith. You know, faith is not in faith. Faith is in Jesus. You put your faith in God. You don't put your faith in faith. You don't put your faith in things. You don't put your faith in people. Even the Bible tells us in Psalms, put not your trust in man, neither your confidence in princes. Those who have high regard or whatever, even when they can do great things, that doesn't mean we should trust them. We should put confidence in them. Even as a pastor, people shouldn't put their trust in me. They should put their trust in the God that's in my life, because the humanity that I am, I'm a human being like everyone else. I can make mistakes. I can mess up. I can fall away just like anyone else. If I don't keep my eyes on the Lord, I can do the same thing that everyone else is doing. But if I keep my eyes on the Lord and I keep walking with God, then people should be able to have an example to live by that is not just my life, but it's the Christ life in me. Amen. So here in Mark 11, the 11th chapter of Mark, looking at the 22nd verse, it says, Jesus answered, this is after the Lord had cursed the fig tree, and now Peter and the disciples saw it. And let's read the 20th verse. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots, which means it was completely dead. Because a tree, you can cut a tree down, but if you don't remove it, meaning that you don't go down and pull it up and kill the roots, that tree will keep living. Even though the tree where the trunk has already been cut off, but there'll be sprouts that will come out around that trunk. You've seen, I think many of you have seen that before. You see a tree cut down, I mean cut all the way down to the ground, but once there's water, that tree is still alive because the roots is really the life source of that tree. So in order to really kill a tree, to make it dead, you got to kill the roots. That's what it's saying here. So that the tree was withered away to its very roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, Teacher, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. Then Jesus says in response to them, because he's using it as an opportunity to teach them. He's using it as an opportunity to teach them. Now, so I've heard many people say that they don't understand this particular incident because the Bible says that it wasn't the season for figs, but a fig tree is a very, very peculiar tree. When we think that the leaves appear first and then the fruit, no, it's the other way around with a fig tree. There's what is called a few figs that will appear before the leaves ever come out. And I have a fig tree in my yard, and I know it's the truth. They come on the tree, they can be, I've had some so big it's almost to a point it looks like a big plum. You know, and there's no leaves. It's just figs. So the season had already come and gone, and still that fig tree had not performed what the Lord had created it to do. So the Lord was using it also as a teaching instrument. He was using this incident to teach the disciples how faith works. So he says in that 22nd verse, Jesus said or answered them, have faith in God. And the way I like to say it is have the faith of God kind. Have God's kind of faith. Have God's faith. So we need to say, Lord, I want the faith that you have given me, because the Bible says that God has given unto every man a measure of faith, which means no one gets more than the other. Everyone starts off with the same amount. So no one can say God is a respected person. He loves her more than he loves me, or loves him more than he loves me. No, no. We all start off with the same amount. Now, what you do with faith, what you do with it, that's up to you. That's why the Bible would say to us in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So right there, Paul the Apostle gives us every key that we need to grow our faith. Faith grows by the word, hearing it, spoken, preached, taught. Also, when you read and study the word and you read out loud, when your spirit hears the word of God, your faith gets stronger and stronger. And then when you begin to move in faith, because faith requires action, because faith is an action word, it requires movement. It requires you doing something. You can't say you have faith without any movement. That's why James would say faith without works is dead. Because Abraham was the greatest of all the examples, second to Christ, when it relates to faith. He demonstrated his faith by his obedience. He demonstrated what he believed in God to be true by what he did. So that's very simple. So we gotta be very careful before we get upset. When the question is asked, do we have faith? Well, I believe everybody has faith. Now, what measure they have, I don't know. Because faith is not faith until it's seen. Let me say that again. Faith is not faith until it's seen, which means it's lived out. There has to be a lifestyle of faith. There has to be a living of faith, not just talking of faith. That's why a lot of believers are very disgruntled and very disappointed and very brokenhearted, because they want to say and believe they have it. And it's not to say they don't have it, but they haven't done anything with it. See, let me go back to that once more and again so we can move on. My question and my point is not trying to question people's faith, but it's to question the fact, what are you doing with your faith? If you have faith, Jesus said the size of a mustard seed. A mustard seed is very small. A few years ago, someone gave me a box of mustard seeds. They were put into small little baggies. And I gave all of our members a mustard seed. And I told them, I said, hold on to it and keep it, because there won't be time. We're going to teach on it so you'll have one. And most of them kept them, and most of them lost them. But that's fine. But my point is that I was able to use it as an illustration to teach, because they saw how small the seed was. And they saw that most of all the seeds were almost identical, almost the same size. So that meant, my point was, Everyone has been given the same amount to start with. Now, what everyone does with their faith, it's solely left up to them. It's not left up to God. See, God gave you everything. That's why he said you have faith the size of a mustard, which means you have it. But the question is, what are you doing with it? What are you doing to develop it? What are you doing to grow it up, to grow it and to mature it? See? And that comes by way of the word. So as a pastor, many times I can tell usually what someone's faith is, how much faith they have as far as how they live and what they speak. See, faith goes beyond just talking about it, but it gets to a place where your conversation is filled with faith. You can listen to people talk, and all they talk is doubt and fear. And you don't know right then, that tells you, gives you an indication where their faith is. They have a little bit, a small, very small amount of faith. Then you see people, you know, I've done it too. I'm not trying to say this like I've never done these things, but we've all witnessed people who say one thing, but they do something totally different, which means many times they're not willing to wait on God and trust God, so they have to go out and make it happen, or they'll say these things, they'll say these words, I got to do what I got to do. Okay, well, that's fine. Everyone has their prerogative. Everyone has their right to do what they want, but it's wrong for anyone, including you or me, to get upset with God or anyone else when we've been given the truth of the Word of God, but we're not willing, or we're lazy, or we just don't want to put the time in to make it work, which is to what? To obey what God's Word says. That's just as simple as that. We have to obey what the Word of God says. We can't keep getting upset and getting, you know, broken because we won't do it. We got to make up in our minds once and for all, I will do what God tells me to do. I'm going to do what God tells me. No matter what it costs me, no matter what it means, I'm going to do. I'm going to stick to doing what God tells me to do. And I'm not going to keep going back and forth. I want to stay anchored. I want to stay seasoned, settled, and set in the will of God as it relates to his word. So I'll begin to see better results in my life. See, I can't blame you for what I get in my life. I can't. I can't get upset with you because I'm always being, as some people say, dealt a bad hand. You know, but we're not playing a card game here. We're talking about life itself. So, but yet, people have to accept the fact that what I receive is a result of what I put out. I cannot expect to reap where I've not sown. I cannot expect to reap where I have not sown. And I can't expect to get a continuous harvest when I've only sowed a small amount of seed. So faith is about making decisions, making choices based upon your trusting and having confidence in the Lord and in his word. Amen. So let's go back into the word. It says here in Mark 11, and we've read down to the 22nd verse, and it says, have faith in God, or have the faith of the God kind. And the 23rd verse says, truly I say, the word truly means surely, I say to you, if you say to this mountain can be situations, circumstances, hard things that are standing before you like a mountain, and you need it to move. You don't have time to go around it. But Jesus says that it will be taken up, thrown into the sea, if you do not doubt in your heart. If you don't doubt, if you believe truly that this is not something for you to climb over, it's not something for you to tunnel through, it's not something for you to go around it. It's for you to say, get out of my way in Jesus' name. He says, if you believe it, it shall be done. It shall be done. No ifs, ands about it. But see, that's my point. We have to, first of all, trace where our faith is. We can't expect great things to happen. We only have a little bit of faith. Because remember, where your faith is will determine what you get. Let me say that again. Where your faith is in its growth will determine what you get. One more time, where your faith is will always determine what you will receive and what you will get in this life. So a lot of people, precious people in the body of Christ, they're expecting great things, but they have little faith. So if God is God and God is the God, he's the only God, and he wants us to ask for great things, not small things, because it glorifies him that we're asking him for things that only he can do, because we believe that he can do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So as we go on, it says, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that though that what he says or what he say will come to pass. In other words, after I believe it, when I believe it, and I go to God about it, before I even ask him for anything, I already believe. This is the attitude of faith. I already believe before I ask. I have what I want before I ask him. Before I ask God, that's how I'm just giving you a simple way of understanding it. Before I even go into prayer, before you go into prayer, this is how faith should work. That before we even say anything to God, we already believe in our heart that God is going to hear us. He's going to respond to us, and he's going to answer us. And he's going to give us what we've asked. That comes out of 1 John, the 5th chapter, around about the 13th, started the 13th verse, well, excuse me, 14th verse, and read on down. You'll see where it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us, and we will receive what we've asked of him for. That's what the Bible says. Confidence is another word for faith. Confidence is another word for trust. So once we understand, that's why the Bible will say to us in Hebrews 10:35, do not cast away, do not throw away your confidence, which is your faith, because with it there is a great reward. But the Bible goes on to say, but not wavering and whatnot, it says, but all that you do, remember this, that you have need of patience, perseverance, that after you've done all the will of God, that you might receive the promise. So we have to be willing to be big enough men and women, big boys and girls, to grow up and understand that sometimes we just don't go to God in faith. You know, we just don't. There have been times in my own life I prayed, but then deep down in my heart of hearts, I knew I wasn't asking him faith. So I had no right to believe that he was going to hear that prayer, because we're going to have a little time to go over here to James. I want to go to James in a minute to show you what James says, that there's a double-minded man must understand, a double-minded woman must understand that which a double-minded speaks of a doubting mind, a fearful mind. And when they pray, when we've prayed like that, we cannot expect, James said, that person should not expect to receive nothing from the Lord. Nothing. Not something, but no, nothing. Because they're double-minded. And they're just like the waves of the sea. They're in and out. They're up and down. One minute their mind is made up, the next minute it's not. So we have to get to a place where we are all together, once and for all, this is where I'm going to be. I'm either going to be in or I'm going to be out. I can't be both. I can't be up and I can't be down. I believe that. I truly do. I believe that we should get to a point in our life as Christians that we're not like a roller coaster. That we eventually get onto a place where it's set. We're aligned with God. It's steady. It's remaining steady. It's not in and out. It's not up and down. It's what it's supposed to be. It's what God intended it to be, and that is steady. So we need a steady life, which is. Being steady means being anchored in the Lord, which is to be anchored in his word. If you're not in the word, you can't be in God. You know, I know it sounds kind of hard, but it's the truth. I can't tell a lie. You know, that goes for me and anyone else. We cannot say we know God, we don't know his word. How well do we know him? You know, that's only seen and determined by how well you know his word. You will never be able to say to anybody, I know the Lord, but yet your life shows and my life shows the total opposite of what we say. You know. One of the great things I want to see in this hour and in this season of the church, and I'm not just talking about New Bethel, I'm talking about the church at large, the body of Christ, is not just for people to come into a greater financial liberty and debt-free living, but see, all of that is possible. I don't doubt that a bit. But one thing I can say is, if we're not going to change our behavior and our habits, it's not going to happen for us, because God is too wise. God is not going to give us something that we're going to squander and we're going to just mess over, you know, and we'll find out in a few short weeks, or even not even weeks, maybe days, we're right back to where we started. We're without nothing, we have nothing, we can't make it on nothing. Even when we get a nice amount of money or whatever it is, we seem to always go back to the same old, same old, same old. And it's because of what? It's because of the habits that we are not willing to give to the Lord. But at the same time, when God delivers us from a, I don't care if it's addiction or drugs, alcohol, whatever, you have to understand that that addiction for those years, it established or created within God's people, within our life, a certain way of living or behavior. And that behavior has to be unlearned, which means we have to begin to replace things that we once did with something greater and better and more godly. Bottom line, like we teach in New Bethany about fasting. Fasting is not meant to get God's attention. Fasting is meant and was always meant for us to give God our attention. Then also what comes after that is that we begin to replace bad habits with godly habits. But I cannot replace a bad habit with a godly habit until I focus on what the bad habit is. And I'm willing to deal with it, which means I take ownership of it. That's not your habit. See, your habit is not my habit, and I can't make mine yours either. We all have good and bad about us. You can believe that. But the person that seems to get more out of life is a person that's willing to face what's wrong with them. And they're willing not to ignore it. And I say this all the time. Some people feel that they can ignore things long and for a long period of time and it'll just go away. Well, that's fantasy. That's not even being real. That's not even real. That's not even logical. You know, it's when you face what's wrong with you and you take what's wrong with you to God and you believe that God is not going to just help you, but God is going to love you. He's going to do what is necessary in your life, if we just give him the opportunity to turn things around. But he cannot turn it around without us. See, it's amazing how people pray prayers and they want God to bring all this change in life, but they're not willing to do nothing. They just want to sit and wait on God. And even in their sitting, they're complaining, they're whining, they're grumbling, and they're not worshiping, they're not thanking God, they're not praising God. And they just want everything to be better. They want a rotten wife to be better. They want a rotten husband to be better. They want contentious and disobedient, rebellious children to be obedient. And they just want to, and won't do nothing about it. They won't commit to righteous living. They won't commit to faithful, committed living, you know, godly living. They want to keep doing what they do and expect everything to be right and peachy in the morning. Anyway, it don't work that way. It hasn't worked for me, and I know it's not going to work for you, because we all have to understand something. God has already told us in his word how and what he's going to do. He's already said it. But see, he is not going to do it without us making a decision to say, okay, Lord, I see what you say, I understand it, and I'm going to yield to your will. I'm going to say yes to you. And not just say it, but my saying is also my living, because my talking has to align with my walk, which is my lifestyle. So a lot of people can say a lot of good things, but their lifestyle is totally, totally different, totally contrary to what they say. So that's why you have so many people in the body of Christ, so many people that are so upset and angry. They stay that way because they keep looking at everybody else and seeing what they got and seeing what they're doing and don't understand God wants the best for you too. But you and I have to be willing to commit to what's best. God's not going to give you his best when you're not going to commit to it. It's not that he doesn't want you to have it, but he's told us in his word, if you do this, then I'll do that. But he won't do it until we do what we're supposed to do. See, God's not going to do for you and do for me what we must do for ourselves. He's not going to make up your mind for you. He's not going to make up my mind for me. So these things, it sounds hard, but you know what? Hardness is not always a hard thing. We make it that way because we're not willing to change. See, willingness is not about praying about it. It's about your heart. See, it's all a matter of the heart. I tell people this all the time in our church. I tell people wherever I go and they ask me questions like this. You know, why can't this and why can't, well, it's a matter of your heart. Well, I'm struggling here and I'm struggling there. It's a matter of your heart, you know. It's about you understanding if it's not in your heart to do it, you're not going to do it. You'll try it, you'll do it for a minute, but you're not going to keep it up. That's why we talked about on last week, the difference between duty and delight. See, duty is something you can do every day. You can perform the duty of going to work. But it's not your, you're not delighted. People don't, there's very few people that I know of that love going to work, unless it's a job that they trained for, they worked for, which means they went to school, they got the education and all of that, and they're doing exactly what they wanted to do, and they're happy with what they're doing. There's not many people like that. Most people just live, they live from paycheck to paycheck, they live from pillar to post, they're one paycheck away from poverty, from homelessness, from being on the streets. And so their life is miserable. And that's not the life that God intended for his people. But because we have not learned to delight ourselves in the Lord, he said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. But we have to learn how to delight ourselves in what God has blessed us with as of right now. Even if it's a job that I really don't like, I may not like it, but I delight in the fact that God has blessed me. That through this job, I can take care of my life. I can pay bills. I can put food on the table, you know. And I can aspire to greater things. I can aspire to having a business. I wouldn't want to work a job all my life, you know. And that's what people say, well, you full time, so you can't, who are you to talk? But I can talk because I worked for 25 years. And I know, and I still have a business. You know, me and my wife have a clothing business. We have other things we're trying to do besides just working a job, you know. So we can be a blessing to people, not just put money in our own bank account and get a better car and a better house and all that. That's what people want to talk about. But no one really talks about helping people, because that's the real measure of your wealth and your riches. How well are you able to bless others that are less fortunate than you yourself? You know, and part of the faith walk, part of the faith attitude, part of what we're talking about is this thing called prayer and faith, is understanding that we're praying God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're not just getting what we want for us. If I'm praying, I'm praying also for those who are in my life, not just my four, not just my family, but for the family of God, for the kingdom. See, and when we begin to change our focus and our perspective like that, it's amazing what God begins to bless you with. You know why? Because he can trust us. The problem with most of us today, God can't trust us. He loves us too. He loves us so much, he will not give us something that we will self-destruct with. It's going to cause us to self-destruct. We'll lose our minds. Some people, if God gave them $1 billion, they'll lose their minds. They'll forget about God. They'll forget about everything. And they'll start worshiping that money. That's why, for many people, what they have is what they can handle. And until they change their way of thinking, they begin to walk by faith and not by sight. They begin to deal with the bad habits in their life, the ungodliness in their life, the ungodly living in their life. They will continue to pray about having a lot of things, and it will never happen because God will not give you what you cannot handle. That's why the Bible talks about when Jesus gave us the parable of the man, the master that gave his servants talents, and he gave it unto them according to their ability to use it. He gave one five. He gave one two, and he gave one. And we find when he came back looking for his investment that he made in them to see if they made an investment in what he gave them, according to what he gave, he knew what he was giving to whom and what they could do. He knew it. The five, he gained five more. The two gained two more. But the one, he went and dug a hole and buried it and brought it back to him. Just that same. He said, you at least could have took it and put it in the bank, and I could have got some credit, interest off of it. You know, so what we're talking about is something that many times we want to ignore, that God is not ignoring. What you ignore, he doesn't mean he's going to ignore it, because he sees everything. There's nothing that you and I can ignore and say, well, you know, God knows my heart. Well, that doesn't mean he knows our heart, but he also knows that we're neglecting things. He knows that we're ignoring things. He knows that we're not taking care of unfinished business. He knows that we're miserable financial stewards. We know that we're miserable relational stewards. We see because stewardship is not just about money. Stewardship is about relationship, time, how you manage time, how you manage money, how you manage people, how you deal with life. That's all. That's the whole crux of the matter, right there. But it begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, everything with this is kingdom. This is all about the kingdom. This is how the kingdom operates. And that's the reason why most of the kingdom's power and resources and finances is not moving in people's lives. You know why? Because they are not submitting themselves and humbling themselves to the word of God. You have to submit yourself. I have to submit myself to the word of God. I have to do like anybody else. I don't care if I'm a pastor. It doesn't matter. But I'm going to be held under a greater standard because I'm a leader. Why? I cannot only teach you the word, but I must live the word that I teach. And a lot of people don't. They say good things, they say the right thing, but they don't live the right thing. You know, they don't have no problem telling you what to do or telling you what you should do, but they themselves won't do it. Well, I'm here to tell you that my desire has always been, I've not always gotten it right, but my desire is to do what's right. I just don't want to be someone who teaches something and preaches something, but I can't do it. Where's the good in that? Nothing. There's no good in that. There's nothing good in that at all. But my point is, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his word, tells us what to do. Now, he goes on to say here in Mark, he goes on to say, it will be done for you. Why? Because you didn't doubt in your heart. 24 says, So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received. Receive. Believe you've already got it. You've already gotten it before you ask it. And it says it will be yours. That is one of the simplest ways of explaining how faith works. Before I ask God anything, in my heart, I believe I already got it. And some people say, well, why ask? Well, he said, you have to ask. Even though he knows what you're going to ask before you ask, he knows what you need before you say to him what you need, he still loves the relationship. He loves the dialogue. What dialogue means, this conversation between you and him. He wants us to come to him and tell him about our troubles. He wants us to come to him and tell him about what we're struggling in. He wants us to come to him and tell him about what we need, even though he already knows what we need. But he also wants us to tell him what we want. That's why the writer could say, if I delight myself in the Lord, he will give me the desires of my heart. Because my greatest delight is Jesus. So if my greatest delight is Jesus, then Jesus can trust me with the other desires that I have, because some of those desires that I have in my heart, he put them there. Now, there's some unrighteous desires. There's some ungodly desires that we all have, and we deal with those on a daily basis, and we take them. We should be taking them and putting them at our feet and walking over them so they won't rise up again. However, but at the same time, we know that this is part of the walk that we have. But as I'm saying these things to you today by the Holy Spirit, understand something. Anything that you need, anything that you want, it's not that God is afraid to do it. It's the point that God knows what we can handle. That's the bottom line. And that's just the reality of knowing that God also speaks of what is called timing. His time to do things is not like ours. It is not always about God has denied us. It's the point that it may not just be the time. So we have to be willing to trust him. That's why faith comes in also. Because I haven't gotten it when I expect to get it. But as long as I know I have it, and God is going to do it, he's done it. That's all that matters. Because sometimes you can pray about something and God says, oh, you got it. It's yours. But it won't materialize. It won't manifest maybe for another couple of years. Because there are a number of things that are taking place in relation to what you've asked God, because it's going to also affect other people. Especially if it's centered around the kingdom and God's purpose for what he wants to do in your life, but not just for you, but for others as well. See, that's what I have to think many times as a pastor for myself. I can't think in relation to what I used to think. I have to think as a leader. That whatever I'm praying about, I'm not just praying for me. I'm praying for God's people, that my very best I'm asking God for, I know that God will give it to me. He will grant it to me, but I know it's going to also be a blessing to other people. But I'm also praying along with it. I'm praying for wisdom so that I won't squander, I won't waste. I'm not just talking about it. It's not just about money. It's about those things, not only things, but also what is unseen. See, what is unseen is not a thing. You know, things are what is called, what is tangible, you know, monetary, what you can pick up in your hand and hold and all that. That's why Jesus said, first seek you the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added, because people put things before God. Because if you read the whole entire sixth chapter of Matthew, you find that the Lord takes a lot of time talking about and commanding us. Notice what I said. He didn't say suggest to us, but commanding us what? To not worry. If he said, now look at the birds of the air. They don't worry about nothing. They know that when they get up in the morning, they're going to have some need. And they don't stress. They say the flowers of the field, they don't stress either. But why? He said, oh, ye little faith, you know. And if the Father is concerned about the sparrows, he's more concerned about you than he's concerned about the sparrows. So if he's taking care of the sparrows, what about you and me? He's going to take care of us. That's faith. I just know Papa's going to take care of me. That don't mean we get there overnight, but the more we walk by faith and we understand that God has started something in us, and whatever God begins and whatever God starts, he's going to finish it. Even though it may look like it's hard right now, but you know what? That's part of your growing. That's part of growing you up. It's part of growing me up. And we got to get to the point that we understand. That we understand altogether that God wants what's best for me. Even when sometimes I don't understand how and when he's going to work it out and do it. But I just believe it's done. I just believe it's done. Sometimes you can't even explain it. Sometimes it's faith. It's not a matter of explaining anything. It's a matter of what you believe and what you trust and who you trust. Amen. Now, he goes on to say in the 25th verse, which is very important, because this is a matter of what we talked about a couple weeks ago, where many times people pray, but they forget that maybe someone has an ought against them, or maybe there was something done, something said between them and someone else or others, and they didn't get that thing straightened out. Well, the Lord says in the 25th verse, whenever you stand praying, forgive. And notice he's not leaving this like something like, you know, if you want to, you know, I'm just suggesting to you, you know, he says, whenever you stand praying, forgive, it's commanded. It's a command. If you have anything against, anyone, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. See how it works? We can't ask of God what we deny others. Why are we asking God for something that we don't give to other people? In other words, we're asking God to forgive us, but we won't forgive other people. So that's one of the major, major, major blessing blockers and prayer blockers, which is unforgiveness, holding grudges. And I'm even learning even more, gossip. When we talk about people, we say things about people. you know, and it's wrong. When that person is not, we said, well, people will get up, you know, get bold and say, well, I'll say it to me. And they feel, well, can't you say it to me? Why you got to say it to all these other people? You know, we've all done it. We've all been guilty of gossip because the Bible is very clear on this. This is because a lot of people understand why things don't work in their life. Well, that's ungodliness. That's what is called ungodly conversation. That's what is called demonic endeavor. Yes, it's demonic. Gossip is demonic. I don't care what, that's why we need to get real about these things. If we start getting real about it, it'll make people think about what they do before they do, and they won't do it. If they know, if they're praying for God to bless them and their family with their children and their finances, and they know that if I open up my mouth against anybody and I'm saying some stuff I shouldn't be saying, even if I got a little truth, I am not qualified, and nor am I justified to talk about anybody, because I wouldn't want nobody saying nothing about me, neither would you. Well, then, if I know, if I do it, it's going to cut my blessings off and it's going to silence my prayers before God, I'm not going to talk about people. When I found myself getting ready to say something, I would pray the Holy Spirit would remind me because I know better now. I'm not going to do that. And if people start talking, I would tell you, you know what, since I see you all want to talk about this person, they're not here, I'm out. I'm gone. Because I'm not cutting off my blessings. And sometimes people say, oh, you think you're better than other people? Well, yes, I am. Right now I'm better than what you all get ready to do because you're going to ready to cut your blessings off. This is real. This is real talk. This is what you call keeping it 100. You know, and a lot of believers don't understand that this is demonic. That's demonic. That is so like the devil, I don't know what to say. Because we've all done it, including me. We've all done it, especially when we're angry. We feel that especially family, we feel because that's my sister, that's my brother, I can talk about her, but you better not talk about her. That don't even make any sense. That's stupid. That is so stupid. But people, we've all done it. All of us have done it. I've done it. But you know, once you come into the light of the truth, which is God's word, and you begin to humble yourself to the word, what happens is you begin to make changes. You begin to make necessary adjustments, and that you find yourself, you don't even do it anymore. You don't even do it anymore. No matter what they say to one of them, no matter what they do, I'm not going to put my mouth on them. Because I've been around that mountain too many times, and I'm not going to be the reason why my blessings are being delayed. I'm not going to be the reason why my breakthroughs are being delayed because I keep talking about this and talking about that, it's not right. I'm not going to get on the phone with nobody talking about nobody. If we don't get on the phone, we're talking about it because we're talking about what we're going to pray for them in prayer about. It ain't going to be because I'm talking about their marriage, talking about their kids, how they raise their kids, none of this old foolishness. And so I'm just trying to lay some foundations here, some practical, applicable things that we need to do as God's people to stop robbing ourselves of what God intends for us to have. And it's due to the fact that we do not practice what? Godliness in areas of our life that seem to be the reason, and now more so, no longer seeming to be, it is the reason. These are some of the reasons why you see a lot of God's people not living their best in God, because they will not face what they do that is continually the wrong thing to do. No one has no right, you, me, or anyone, to put our mouth on anybody. Jesus didn't do it. God doesn't do it. Sure, why? So what gives us the reason we think we can? It just speaks of the carnality. It speaks of the fact that we still give sometimes more place to the devil than we should. So what happens is, we stay there in that mode, we stay there in that groove, and we keep doing stuff that's foolish and devilish. We need to stop it, bottom line, and face it. Face it. You can't fix what you don't face. So what I'm saying to everyone that's listening to this broadcast, if we really want our prayers answered and responded to and to begin to walk out in faith what God told us we have every right to do in Him, in Christ. Now, in yourself, you ain't got no rights. I don't have any rights. But it's in Christ we have rights. But not so much entitlement, because it means that means we've earned it. No. It's a privilege. But I have no privilege to talk about you. You don't have a right to talk about me. You know, because you can't fix me, and I can't fix you. You know, it takes God to help both of us, all of us. So once we begin to understand that these are some of the principles, these are kingdom principles. People say, well, because when we say kingdom principles, we're talking about God's kingdom in motion. You know, people want to get there. I'm waiting for me to go deep. This is deep. I don't care what people say. I don't care how they say it. That's why a lot of people even dealing with prophetic things and dealing with things of spiritual gifts and stuff. And many times the operation of those gifts have to be, it's a matter of love. It's a matter of humility. And a lot of people, you have to be very, very twisted in your mind to think that you can badmouth and backbite people and gossip about people and think that that's the spirit of Jesus. That's stupid. But you know, we've all been stupid. We've all been foolish. And we have to understand how many of us really are willing to keep walking like that. Not me. I want to do what's right. I want to change that. I don't want my life to be like that. I want to give God everything that he needs, not just to bless me, but to make me a blessing. I want to move from just asking him to bless me. I want to get to the place where God himself says, now my son is ready for me to make him a blessing. He's walking like Abraham. He's living his life. She's living her life like they're supposed to. And now they're giving me nothing more, no other choice but to allow my word to come to pass in their life. Why? Because they're cooperating with me. But we as God's people, we've got to get over these things that we don't get over, and which is get over ourselves. And to think that we're okay when we're not okay, you know, and to understand that we just got through reading here, dealing with forgiveness. I've never seen so many believers full of unforgiveness in their life and don't understand. That's probably one of the major reasons why you see a lot of people get sick and they never get well, because it blocks the healing. They keep praying for God to heal them, but they keep putting their mouths on people. I believe that when people stop doing that and they start turning around and they start talking right about people, no matter what people act like and do, we're supposed to speak what God says about them and mean it. I can almost guarantee we're going to start seeing people in God's, in these churches getting healed like nobody's business. We're going to start seeing breakthroughs and blessings coming for them because they're doing what's right. But we got to stop living wrong. Many of us live wrong all the time. And then we want to sit up and wonder why we can't seem to see anything good come. There's a lot of reasons, but I'm just giving you some of them. And these are some of the things I see I've seen them as a pastor. You know, I've been pastoring for 30 years, so by now I should be able to say something and know what I'm talking about. And then sit up and be very sad for people because they don't get it. They just don't get it. You can't keep doing what you're doing and expect something different to come. It's not going to happen. Because as surely as you do what you do and I do what I do, you're sowing. But I always understand something. Once you sow, you put it out there. And you can't control how it's going to come back now after you put it out there. But you can sow what's right. You can put out what's right. So what comes back to you, you can be excited and glad to know it's going to come back to me, but it's going to be good because I put out good. You sow good seed, you'll get a good crop. You sow good words, you'll get words when you're done. That doesn't mean anybody's going to say good things to you, but what I'm saying is that you have a reason to know and understand that the devil's going to try to counter that too. But that doesn't mean that no matter what he does, I have to get under it and I have to act out of character because people are acting foolish or being ignorant or whatever. You don't have to get up under all that stuff. But see, we're talking about prayer, we're talking about forgiveness, we're talking about, you know, faith. And there's a reason why people that are in the body of Christ and they're trying to live right, they're doing what they believe to be right, but still they don't understand there are some things about all of us that is just not right. And we need to say, Holy Spirit, show me myself. And you ask God to do that, also ask him for the wisdom and for the strength to bear it. Because when God shows you, it hurts. It hurts. It can hurt bad. It really can. The truth hurts, especially when the truth is about you. Or it's about me. A lot of people don't have the heart to deal with it, which is to bear it. And to do something about it, they'll sit there and ignore it. And so what I'm saying to you today, in this hour, as we get ready to close out, we only have a minute left, that you make the necessary adjustments with faith in the Word of God to continue to do what is right, and you have every right to expect good to come back to you. I'm not saying bad won't come, but that's not by the hand of God. That's by the enemy. Satan's going to do what Satan said. But God's going to do what he said he would do in your life. So praise the Lord. We thank God for you. We pray that the word of the Lord today has been an encouragement to you, to encourage you, to strengthen your life, to help you steady your walk in God and to grow in him. And as well as for those who may not know him, we just, again, as always, appeal to the unsaved. Let Christ come into your life. Allow him to make the difference that you can't make for yourself. He'll search over and over and over and still won't find what you need until you find it in God. So we bless you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And may the Lord himself, Yeshua HaMashiach, give you his peace and shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing. May he himself, Yahweh Adonai Elohim, the Lord God of the earth, the creator of all things, the life. Until next time, this is Pastor Atkinson. Have a wonderful, blessed day. And all that you do, go with God. Bless you. Bye-bye.